When I was given this parable to talk about by Pete, it's a bit of a challenge, really, because it is a story that is taught in Sunday school. It's a story that is well known. And sometimes well-known stories, it's difficult to get anything new out of them. And you're up against Jesus, really, because he explained it. So trying to find something else is a challenge because it has already been explained to his followers by Jesus himself. However, I have managed to find out something that I think has changed the way that I think about things. So I'm hoping that if I can pass that on to you folks, then together we can look at this story a little differently, and maybe it will be something that we can think and pray about using this parable to help the people that we know and our wider community. Now, first of all, I thought, I'll do the sermon properly. I'll start with a joke. So there was a man who had an allotment, and he loved growing fruit and vegetables, but always wished that his plot was more fertile. So he prayed that his plot of land would become more fertile. And overnight, an inch of compost just turned up all over his allotment. He thought, ah, that's amazing. Thank you, God. And he prayed again the night after. Another inch of compost all over his allotment. Amazing. Right, you can stop now, God. That's fine. So he didn't pray the next night. But the next morning, another inch. That's happened and I haven't prayed. The plot thickens. Right, let's sing. Okay. And that has changed my life. No, that's not it. There is something else. Okay, I want to talk to you about Jesus being Jewish. I want to talk to you about Jesus living 2,000 years ago. I want to talk to you about Jewish agriculture 2,000 years ago, because it's not the same as it was now. When Jesus was saying this parable of the sower, he was in a boat. There were loads of people on the hillside. No microphones, just shouting this story out. And probably from where he was, because Jesus spent a bit of time in Jerusalem, but Bethlehem, Nazareth, Capernaum, they weren't massive places. And so a lot of Jesus' life would have been rural. And probably from where he was in the boat, he would have been able to see farmers casting their seeds. Because in Israel, the months of May, June, July are basically no rain at all. Your harvest months in first century Israel would have been April and May. So sowing would have been done October, November, around now. And if it was a cold winter, it's fine because the seeds would just lie dormant under the ground for those months, and eventually you'd have those 4 or 5 growing months when there was rain, and then you would harvest before the rain's finished, and that would be the yearly cycle. And you had to be very wise about when you did it and when you collected it and how you shared out the work, because if you messed it up, your family died. If you mess up your job in 2012, things will rescue you here now. But if you messed up your harvest, your family died. That was the way it was. So you had to get it right. So sowing was an important thing, because without sowing, you don't get any food and your family suffers. Now, these pictures that Jesus told were of a first century farmer sowing his seed. Now, these days, apparently, I lived in cities, and I don't really know very much about farming, but it's amazing what you can find on the internet. But these days, you plow stuff, you put seeds in the holes, then another machine comes and turns it all over. That's fine. And what happens is that most farms are big enough that they have their own tractors and their own plows and their own farmyard utensils. There are still, though, some farms that work in Britain as a cooperative. So they will share one tractor with a plow between a bunch of smaller farms. They will share a combine harvester between the farms. They will share various other bits and pieces between the farms. Otherwise, you have a combine harvester sat in your garage for most of the year doing absolutely nothing, and the farmer next door also has a combine harvester in his garage doing nothing for the whole of the year. Now, that's kind of the way that it worked in the first century Israel. Most farmers weren't rich enough to have two oxen and a plough. So what would happen is that you would either pay somebody to come and plough your fields, or you would know someone in the family to come and plough your fields, or someone in your tribe. And you wanted them to only come and do that once. So they didn't plough and then seeds and then turn it over, because that would mean two visits from the ox guys. What they did was they waited till all the crops were dead from the summer, and then they would cast their seed, and then the ox guy would come over and plough that all in. Now, in the story that Jesus gives us, oh, incidentally, right, if this sermon and this talk here and this morning doesn't do anything, I reckon there's somebody who will run with this idea. Could you put your hand up, please, if you have a lawnmower? Right, why do we all need lawnmowers? Now, this isn't an idea that I'm going to do anything about. I'm just laying this out there. Why do we all need lawnmowers? We're supposed to be part of a community. Our lawnmower, let's be honest, hardly gets used. No one would want to borrow it. It is rubbish. But anyway, I'll leave you with that idea. I don't want to touch the idea because it sounds to me like too much like a rotor. Have I told you my helicopter joke? Oh, two jokes. Why is church like helicopters? Because if you get too near, you get caught up in the rotors. It was better than that. Okay, anyway, where was I? Seeds. Oh, yeah, good. They scattered the seeds, and then the ox guy would come in and plough the seeds in. So, when we have our idea of 2012, Jesus says the farmer scattered it on the path. I think for most of my life, I kind of knew this story was about Israel, but when it says the word path, I imagine a path. I imagine it at least with paving slabs, maybe with tarmac. And it's a path that is just, it's there the whole time. Even the path that you see around our fields in England now, so that ramblers can have right of way, that's kind of a permanent place in a field. But that isn't what happened in Jesus' time. In the Bible, it talks about people, robbers and muggers and bandits, who would attack you on the roads between villages. So actually, one of the safest places to walk was across somebody else's property. And it was encouraged because it meant community welfare. So as the year went by and as the crop started to grow, people would be walking through the crops. And as the crops got higher, it was a bit more tricky to wade through the tall stuff. So eventually, paths would become etched into the fields. That is the paths that Jesus is talking about. So when all the crops die, there's stubbly stuff most of the way around, and then a path maybe diagonally across the field. So when the farmer comes along and does all this, Jesus talks about how some of the seeds fall on the path and the ravens or the crows or whatever it is come and eat them away. Well, in actual fact, these seeds would only be on the path until the ox guy comes along and ploughs them in. Because the plough would do the whole field. He wouldn't avoid the path. He would do the whole field and the edges. The paths disappear every time. So it just got me to thinking about people who to us represent paths. It got me to thinking about the parts of my life that are a bit pathy. And Jesus isn't giving us a mental picture of a slabbed area or a tarmacked area where the seeds will never grow. He is actually giving us a picture of somewhere that's a bit tough for now, but very soon, potentially, it will be part of the field and those seeds will actually be ploughed in. So I've written something that I kind of summarised this, and I want to just read it because I was quite pleased with it when I wrote it. Paths are not permanent. In Jesus' story, paths are not permanent. What paths are there in your life? When Jesus is telling you the good news, are there little zones in your life that you want to be separate from the love of God? Which of your friends and family are pathy right now? We should keep sowing and we should keep praying that they don't remain paths for long. I'll read that again. Paths are not permanent. The paths that Jesus was talking about are not permanent. What paths are there in your life? Which of your friends and family are paths right now? We should keep sowing and pray that they don't remain paths for long. A couple of minutes in the quiet. Let's just see if we can think about paths in our lives. The bits of our life, the people that we know, that are hardened to this. And we'll just pray that Jesus' picture is about the idea that these paths are not forever. With our prayers and with God's love, the seeds can be ploughed into the paths just as easily as they can be ploughed into the good soil. So a couple of minutes, in the quiet, maybe shut your eyes if that helps, but just think about people, places, bits of your life that are pathy at the moment.